called the Great Commission, where Jesus tells us, his church, what we are here to do. And before he ascended to heaven, it says in verse 18 that Jesus came up and spoke to them. That would be the apostles, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." And the second passage is found in the letter from Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26, where it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And we will conclude our reading at that point. Sermon title is "The Sacraments and the Saints." Today we observed the sacrament of baptism in our congregation. And I didn't say this to Chloe, but I think she's probably figured it out over the years that anybody that comes forward can become an example for the sermon on that day. And so I'm very thankful for the Lord's calling Chloe to this point in her life. And this sacrament is a reminder of some really important things. It's a reminder of the fact that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's a reminder that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is the gospel that in the scripture in Matthew today, Jesus has called us as his church to take to the four corners of the earth. And until the Lord comes again, that missionary effort to convert the world to Christ will continue among the members and friends of his church. And so today I just wanted to talk very briefly and quickly. There's a lot in the outline that I'm just going to mention but as we go by. But just in general, I wanted to talk about the sacraments, but really wanted us to think about it in the fact that these things are important for us. The Lord has given them to us, and there are blessings to be had when we do things his way. And so I start with the first question: what is a sacrament? And the word sacrament comes out of Latin, but the Latin-speaking church developed a meaning of sacramentum that is attached to the Greek word mysterion, which means mystery. And so there's something about the sacraments that are a mystery. And in the Roman Catholic Church, and I know of what I speak, at least to a point, I grew up in that church, there is a part of the each worship service that they have, they call it the canon of the Mass. This is the point where the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is observed, and there's certainly an understanding that there's a mystery about these things, and how we understand this is my body, this is my blood. Different Christian denominations and churches have understood it in different ways. A whole Reformation related to that, as well as to other things as well. But there's something divine, and there's something that God is giving to us in the sacraments. They're mysterious in some ways, but they're clear in others, that he has said, do these things, and when God has us do things his way, his blessings do follow. In the Westminster Confession of Faith, I just wanted to read you a short paragraph, because essentially this paragraph, the first of chapter 27, written back in the 1640s, really is an amazing statement, and the items in the sermon do relate to this. It says that sacraments are holy signs and seals of the covenant of grace, immediately instituted by God to represent Christ and his benefits and to confirm our interest in him. As also to put a visible difference between those that belong unto the church and the rest of the world, and solemnly to engage them to the service of God in Christ according to his word. And so what Chloe did today is she said, I'm not part of the world apart from God, but I am part of the people of God called the church. And this sign of baptism is one way that we visibly do it. It's a visible thing. We got to see it. I hope that the way I prayed meant that it was okay to open your eyes when we actually put the water on. But we got to witness this, as we have for our children here, many of them, and adults as well, through the ages, that God has said, here is something important. And at the heart of it is saying, it's about holiness. It's about being separated apart from the sins and the sinners of this world to be part of the people of God. It says there it's a sign and seal, and we call it that sacraments are signs and seals of the covenant of grace. And you can look at Romans chapter 4, verse 11, and in that part where those particular words are used. I'm not going to spend time fleshing some of those things out at this point. But so a sacrament is these things that we've been talking about. But what makes a sacrament is another question. And from that paragraph and from the scripture, I've suggested these things that I put together. This is my list. It contains the list of the Westminster Confession and others. But a sacrament is a sacrament when it is ordained by Jesus Christ himself, by his command. And so, in the Great Commission, go therefore, make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. The Great Commission, to give you a brief grammar lesson, has one verb, one main verb, and the same in English. You have to have a main verb, and the main verb is not go, but the main verb is make disciples. That's what the church is called to do. We're not only to make converts, that is to see people converted, but we're to see them converted to Christ and then converted into people who are serving Christ, who are growing in grace and in the knowledge of the truth, who are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit and are making a difference in their families and in their workplaces and their schools and their communities, wherever we go for Christ. And so that main verb, make disciples, it is an imperative. Most of the children, if you're at least into junior high, you know what an imperative is, right? There are four kinds of sentences: declarative sentences, interrogative sentences, exclamatory sentences, and imperative sentences. Did I get that right? Have they changed that? I mean, a lot of things have changed since I was in school. That was a long time ago. It's an imperative. In other words, it's not, if you get around to it, make disciples. If you feel like it, make disciples. He says, if you are my people, that is what I command you to do. And there are three participles. The going is, how do we make disciples? First of all, participles support that verb. Going means we've got to go and we've got to interact with people if we're going to speak to them about the things of Christ. We are to baptize them, and then we are to teach them. And what happens in grammar is that those participle verb forms, they support the intent of the main verb. And so the command is to make disciples, and the command is, and I command you in order to do that, to go, and I command you to baptize, and I command you to teach. All right, a grammar lesson is done. Baptism is by the express command of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Great Commission, spoken of elsewhere in the New Testament. The same is true in the Lord's Supper. And we read from Paul's account of that. Paul takes the best out of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and puts them together in the summary that he gives of what happened when Jesus instituted the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And In there, there are two commands. Do you know where they are in those verses? Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. First the bread, then the cup. And so we have the Lord's command about these two sacraments in the two passages that we read today. A sacrament is a sacrament because it is a symbol of Christ's saving work. There's something represented about what Jesus did in baptism and the Lord's Supper. What is it in baptism? There's two senses. One that we as Presbyterians focus on more. One that Baptists focus upon more. But they're both there. The idea of baptism with water, first of all, is a cleansing. That Jesus is the one who has washed away our sins by his shed blood on the cross. But secondly, there's the idea of water as an instrument of God's judgment and God bringing us through water. 1 Corinthians 10 talks about bringing us through water. He redeemed the nation of Israel as he brought them through the Red Sea and parted the waters. And the idea of baptism is also the idea that the judgment of God through what Jesus has done for us has been taken care of. And so that as you go through the water and come forth from the water, you come forth redeemed by God, the judgment having been executed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Lord's Supper, what is it about the Lord's Supper that symbolizes the work of Christ? It's the crucifixion. And the resurrection is implied there as well. And those are at the very heart of what Jesus did for us in saving us from our sins. He died on the cross in our place, paid our penalty so that we might have everlasting life. They are visible signs, we already talked about that, of what might be called invisible grace. And there's probably that mystery idea to it, that God is doing something. What he did as Chloe came forth in her life, he's been working all along, but the Lord has now, in this step that she's taken, what he's saying is, I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that in ways you can't even see, because it's the Spirit of God that regenerates our hearts, the Spirit of God that ultimately convicts us of sin and the need to repent and to change our lives. Fourthly, the sacraments are defined by their continuance, observance until the end of the age. And I think if you looked at what we read this morning in both of those passages, you would see that. Jesus said, I will be with you always until the end of the age. And what are we supposed to do in the meantime? Make disciples by going, by baptizing, by teaching. Same thing in the Lord's Supper. When you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death for how long? Until he comes again. Fifthly, sacraments are sacraments because they belong to the Christian church. And sixthly, not only do they belong to the church, it's in the context of the church that we have these passages, but they also belong to all believers and to be observed by all believers. I grew up in a church that said there are seven sacraments. I now am a pastor in a church that has two. And one of the things that I noticed is that a number of the seven sacraments in Roman Catholicism, we as Protestants say they're not, is that they do not belong to all believers. But baptism and the Lord's Supper do. We're all called to be baptized. We're all called to observe the Lord's Supper until he comes. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. And so when we think about these various things that make sacraments sacraments, I would suggest to you, and I've concluded, and it's not me, this has been concluded by Christians throughout the centuries, that there are only two ordinances that apply or qualify to be sacraments. One is baptism, which is a rite of initiation into the church, into the visible church. And it's important that I say that very importantly, because there is a visible church, but we're part of the visible church. And why are we visible? Because people can come in and see us. They can come in and worship with us. People can look at the website and say, oh, there's a church on Anhawa, wherever that is, in Longmont, that has services on Sunday morning. But one thing about the visible church is not everybody that is part of the visible church is necessarily truly converted and truly belonging to the Lord. So we speak about the invisible church as well, and that's important when we think about the sacraments. They're for the visible church to be observed. And the Lord's Supper, secondly, is a rite of continuance in the faith. That baptism being a one-time thing where we, in a public way, say, I am now announcing to any who would hear, and I'm now declaring that God has saved me and that I am part of his people. But the Lord's Supper is different in the sense that it is a rite of continuance in the faith. This is something that is to be done over and over and over again. And the phrase that is found in 1 Corinthians 11 is, as often as you do this, as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you will proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, means we are to continue to do this and continue to do this until the Lord comes again. And finally, a sacrament, why these sacraments are sacraments, relate to the Old Testament counterparts of the Old Covenant. And circumcision is associated with baptism, and there's the passages in the Romans and Colossians that you can look at. And the Passover is a type and shadow of the Lord's Supper. And I could give you verses, but just go and remember, when was the Lord's Supper instituted? It started out a Passover meal. It ended up a Lord's Supper meal. And the parallelism and the impact of the one upon the other, I think, is evident. But if you want to talk more about that at another time, I would be happy to do that with you. And so, third question of the message this morning is, why are the sacraments important for the saints? First of all, they are not important for salvation, although they are all about salvation. And what I mean that is, the sacraments don't save anyone. Baptism by water, or the observance of the Lord's Supper using the bread and the cup, by partaking of those, you do not automatically get everlasting life. But they're all about everlasting life and about how we are right with God and about Jesus and what he has done for us. But don't let anybody ever tell you, well, if you are not baptized, there's no way you can ever go to heaven. And I would just say, as soon as somebody would bring that to you, what you need to say is, what about the thief on the cross? Do you remember what happened there? There were two thieves crucified on each side of Jesus. One was repentant, one was not. And in the Gospels, the one who was repentant said to Jesus before all three of them died, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And what did Jesus say back to him? Okay, well, as soon as you figure out how to get down from the cross and go and be baptized, then you will qualify. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. Skipped all of the things that many of us have gone through. And what that means for us practically is, if you have not accepted Jesus, it's not too late. It's never too late. Many people have been converted on their deathbeds. Well, if it's not about salvation, what is it about? Well, it's important because, first of all, God commands us to observe the sacraments. We've already talked about the imperative verb, make disciples, the imperative verb, do this in remembrance of me. What does that mean? It means God thinks this is important for us. And if he thinks it's important enough that he commands us to do it, then we cannot think otherwise of it. We cannot trivialize these things. We cannot neglect these things, but rather we need to pay attention and honor the Lord. Thirdly, the sacraments are important because they are visible signs and seals. They are a testimony about the gospel to the world around us. They are a way of us declaring we are part of the people of God. We are part of the household of faith. We are part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, we will not waver when it comes to sin. We will resist the devil. We will stand for righteousness before the world around us, even if it costs us our very lives. And so the sacraments are one of the many ways that we're called to declare to the world, come and see, the Lord is good. And he has given us these wonderful things to help us. And one of the main helpers, I think, is in the fourth reason here. They are reminders. They're reminders to individual saints, and they are reminders to us corporately as the church of the fundamental and foundational doctrines of Christianity. And that's how I've always viewed it. Whenever the sacraments are being observed, I take pause, and oftentimes, if I can't see in what I was going to preach, because now we have a baptism or whatever else, I simply put that aside and focus on those foundational things. Foundation is, you need a Savior. His name is Jesus. He came, he died to cover our sins. He rose again from the dead. He even now intercedes on behalf of us before his heavenly Father. And if you will put your faith and trust in him that he did this for you, he says you will be saved. That's what the gospel is all about. Fifthly, the phrase is used, and I use it carefully, but I use it anyway, and I think it has a right use. They are a means of grace to the individual believer or to the saints. And there's some of where the mystery is. They're means of grace that means that in ways that we can appreciate and see, that if by faith we are involved in participating in the sacraments, obeying God's commands, that he, by his Spirit, is going to use them in ways that we cannot even always see and understand to build us up and to draw us closer to himself. In other words, if it's a simple thing, and I proclaim it as so simple, but I confess in my life I've made it so hard to understand that if we do what God commands us to do, he will open up the floodgates of heaven itself to bless us, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And so part of the sacrament of baptism is, it's a sign that says we have committed ourselves to Christ, but it is also a sign that God has put on us by Christ that says this person who has received the sacrament of baptism belongs to my visible church. And that makes him different. And that means that God takes these things seriously, and we need to take them seriously as well. It must be tied to faith. To baptize and to deal with this without preaching about faith and without ministering to our hearts in faith, it really ultimately will be shown to have no value. And that's where that distinction in the visible church, there are those, it was in Israel, Esau, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. That's in Romans chapter 9. That ultimately, it is God's grace that saves, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit himself, signified by these sacraments, that bring the blessing and bring the meaning and bring the grace that we receive from them. So I just encourage you not to read too much into these things. I grew up in a church where I was taught as a elementary school child. I was just one. I was a public school student, but I went to release time education on Wednesday afternoons. I got to leave school early, and I was taught how to baptize with a spoon. And the reason I was taught that was if I had any baby brothers and sisters at home who all of a sudden were dying and nobody else was around, a priest or anybody, that I needed to baptize that baby if they hadn't been baptized, because if they weren't baptized, they would not ever be able to go into heaven. That's not what the scriptures teach about these things. The sacraments don't save you, but the sacraments have great blessing for those who the Lord has, by his Spirit, saved in Christ. And then finally, in closing, we have the significance of the seals. Baptism and the Lord's Supper are called signs, visible signs, declaring our commitment to Christ, our separation from the sinful world around us, but they are also seals, called seals in the Bible. And they are seals, first of all, of God's ownership, of God's protection, of God's authority, and fourthly, of the Holy Spirit's work in the life of the believer. That if you are a Christian, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Back at the time, in Bible times, seals belonged to kings. And seals were put onto communications, onto scrolls. We've probably all seen these things where a scroll is a letter that's written and you roll it up. And then you would take wax and you would put wax on it to hold that roll together. You with me? Okay, and then the king's ring would be put into that wax. And what that said, first of all, is those who bear that seal belong to the king. Secondly, anybody who would dare to break that seal to see what the king had sent to somebody else who was not supposed to do that would be held accountable for that, probably by death. And thirdly, it said, you can be sure that this document came from the King of Kings and the Lord, the King. It has a seal. And in baptism, we are putting that covenant mark on the people of God. But again, it needs to be followed with the sealing of the Holy Spirit of promise to be authentic. And we don't know that. For our children, we have much more confidence certainly in that when people come to faith and acknowledge their commitment to the Lord and become communing members. And yet what a wonderful thing God has given us in these two things that the church has come through the centuries to call sacraments. And the Bible calls signs and seals of our faith in a faithful Savior whose name is the Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome Chloe into our membership. We pray for our children who have received this sign and seal that in their time they will come to understand and make the profession that Chloe did today to the Lord Jesus Christ and to Almighty God, the Lord of all. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the sacraments that you have given to your church. Thank you for Jesus Christ, whom you have given to save us, and for these signs and seals of what he has done for us, washing away our sins, paying our penalty for us, and giving us spiritual nourishment to sustain us throughout all the days of our lives. And so, Father, continue to bless us, continue to bring forth those who profess faith in Christ to the church and to the point of being baptized and of participating in the sacraments to their blessing and to your glory. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.